Dave asked me to come down and talk about the message of the importance of the gospel and how I present the survey and the diagram. Everyone does it a little bit differently, so I'll present it the way I do. But it's the same message, and we'll talk about that. So please remember that I'm not a pastor and I'm not a preacher. I'm a third grade teacher. So the word grace means treat me in grace tonight. So we'll see how this goes. And you know, we can really be thankful for the teaching that we have, especially in the area of presenting a clear gospel and using the diagram, the survey and the diagram. It's just a wonderful tool, and I'm just so thankful that Kurt and many people in DBC took this and developed it and tweaked it and tweaked it and tweaked it till it's just an excellent tool for presenting the gospel. And a few examples, and I was up, the last time I was in Alaska, I think it was a couple years ago, and I had 5 heart attacks and open heart surgery, and so I was in the hospital. I came back to the mission and spent a few days there, and I was just leaving to go home, and I walked into the mission because I wanted to say goodbye to everyone, and a man approached me, and he wanted to talk, and he said, well, where is Bert? And I don't know if some of you know Bert Spath from DBC, but Bert had just led him to the Lord. And I said, well, too bad, Bert just flew home. And I looked across the room where Randy is back there, and there was a gentleman sitting there with a big smile on his face, you know, and I was just thinking, you know, do I go out the door, or why is that guy smiling, you know? So the Spirit of God says, don't go out the door. He's smiling for a reason. So I went over and I introduced myself, and I said, I'm Nick, and what's your name? And I remember his name distinctly. He was from India, and his name was Nellish. And I said, Nellish, where are you from in India? Are you from Goa? Because I know in Goa, most of the people around Goa, lot of beaches there and resort area, but most of them are Catholic. And I said, are you from Mumbai? And he said, oh, I'm north of Mumbai. And I said, well, you're either Sikh or you're Hindu or you're Muslim. He said, no, I'm Catholic. Oh, and I said, because I was leaving, I said, I saw you smiling. And did you hear what we're talking about? He said, yeah. I said, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? And he said, no. I said, would you like to know? And he said, I'd love to know. So I said, come on downstairs. So I went downstairs and I went over the gospel with him, and he got saved. And I'm just making this short, because we'll go through the gospel. But he got saved, and I really think about, it's the clarity of the gospel, the presentation. It's not what I say, it's the clarity of that gospel. And he came up and he gave me a big hug, and he said, Nick, he said, this is a divine appointment. And I said, what do you mean? He pulled out his cell phone and he said, look, I've been searching through my phone of all the different religions how to get to heaven, how to be saved. Now I know I'm not 50% anymore. I'm 100%. I'm going to heaven because Christ died for my sins and rose again for me to give me eternal life. And it's a free gift that I do not deserve. And I said, yes, that's amazing, great. And he said, my ship leaves for Japan tomorrow morning. So he said, this was a divine appointment. Now I'm saved. But it's just the clarity, and we can go on with that. It's we headed down. Randy came to Harlingen. So I left a week early because 26 years ago, I had an opportunity to lead a boy to the Lord in Silver Bay. He was a foreign exchange student from Kazakhstan. And he got saved. He went home back to Kazakhstan, came back to Norman, Oklahoma, went to college 4 years to become a pastor. And then he moved down to Houston. So Jenny and I and Ayla, we headed down to Houston, and he called me and he said, I've got a house in Norman, Oklahoma, but my niece is there and you can stay there on your way down there. So we got to Norman, Oklahoma, and of course we got in the house, and her name was Abigail, I remember. And I said, Abby, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? You know, so I went over the survey with her, and she said, I'm 80%. And I said, well, you know, 80% won't do it. Can we look into the Word of God and see how you can be 100%, you know? Again, to make a long story short, and she said, no, I'm 100%. I know I'm going. And then it was just a presentation of the gospel, the three tenses of salvation, and the family fellowship. And she was locked in, and she got saved there. So it's, again, it's not you. It's that clear gospel that's given out. And so then I traveled on down to Houston, and I'm really grateful that my friend that's now a pastor in Houston, in fact, he has a master's. We can be so thankful for the truth we have. I don't know, I have that probably on the next page, but we can also be very, very thankful for the truth that we have and see the clarity of the gospel and people get saved. And you can hear. You can be very thankful. Trust what I'm saying. I'm not blowing his horn. You can be thankful that you have a pastor that has a passion for the souls, lost souls, and a willingness to proclaim the gospel of grace around at different fairs and different places, because it just doesn't happen. You know, I traveled down there, and the first night down there, my buddy, he has a passion for the Lord too, and I really love that. And so the next day we went. I taught a Bible study that night. And in the Bible study, there were pastors graduated from this. I don't want to start naming seminaries but they graduated from big time seminaries. And I asked, do you have anyone here know what the gospel is? Dead silence. Does anyone know a good definitive passage that tells you what the gospel is? Dead silence. Then I had because I was, you know, talking, there's pastor, and what do I know? The gospel, you know? And so I felt pretty good, but then I'm thinking, what are they teaching in the seminaries? And my friend, who is now a master in theology, he said, Nick, 97 credits to get my doctorate. You know what he did his doctorate on? This, in theology. And he said, out of the 97 credits, 3 were on evangelism, and they were all wrong. So what I'm saying is you're fortunate to have a pastor that proclaims the truth, and that you have the truth, and that desire to give the gospel out. So, again, I can reiterate a little bit about that before I jump into the Word of God here. I had an opportunity, again, I don't want to name, to teach at different churches in southern United States, I'll put it that way. And the wife of the pastor said, how come everyone here is 80 years old? We have no children. We have no family, young families. And I said, I have to be honest with you. I don't know what is taught here. But is the gospel the focus? Everything depends on that gospel. But I knew I had a friend in that church. And they left the church because the gospel, even on Christmas, was never presented. And so I said, the focus at DBC and different churches that we go to, the focus is the gospel. And many people are getting saved. Many people are going out and giving the gospel. So anyway, we're very, very fortunate. So we should never lose sight of the importance of the ministry God has given to each one of us, and that's to proclaim the gospel of grace. Maybe I'd like you to open your Bibles, if you have a Bible, to 2 Corinthians 5. So I'll grab mine. 5:18 and 19. And before I read these two verses, I can use Randy sitting back there. Randy has the gift of helps, and he does help me. He helps me buy cars. He helps me buy tires. He helps me buy glasses. You know, he has a gift of helps. But I had another close friend that we were talking about the gospel, and she said, I don't give the gospel. That's not my gift. Well, God has given each one in the body of Christ a gift. Randy's got the gift of help, but it doesn't stop there. So let's read 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Now, there's a little word in there that stands out to me more than it ever did, because I've read these verses 100 times, but I've never really, these words stand out. And all things are of God, and I'm sorry, I'm reading out of the King James. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself, Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. But that little teeny word, us, really stands out. You may have a special gift God has given to you, but each and every single one, if you're here and you're saved, we have the ministry of reconciliation, and that's to proclaim the gospel of grace. So I'm glad Randy just doesn't have the gift of helps, because he opens his mouth a lot for the gospel. So I gave you a handout on the gospel. We'll quickly go through this and what I consider the importance of the gospel. Why is the gospel important? Of course, none of this is new. The gospel is Evangelion, and the gospel is a message of good news from God to man, and it involves what? A person, Jesus Christ, a work, he died and rose again, an accomplishment for what? For our sins, and the response is faith alone by believing the gospel, you'd get eternal life. So I'll just quickly read some of these verses here for you. Why is the gospel necessary? In Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. So the only power of God unto salvation to get to heaven is believing the what? Gospel. What else does the gospel do? In 2 Timothy 1:10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. How? Through the gospel. So the wages of sin is death, and he took care of that problem on the cross. He abolished what? Death and brought life and immortality to light. So you can see it through the what? Gospel. So B, we're called by the gospel. So the gospel is very necessary because it's the only power of God unto salvation. And B, in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, which he has called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're called by the gospel. We're begotten. We're born again by the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4:15, for though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. You know what that verse is saying? We have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Everyone's willing to instruct you about Jesus, but are there a lot of people willing to open their mouth and tell you about Jesus? We don't have many fathers, do we? Of course, some have more than others. Some water plant, da, da, da. Like Mr. David Knutson here, 4 years I watered. Some came along. Finally, 4 years later, he calls me on the phone, wide open. And a couple days later, he got saved. So that was wonderful. Yes. And aren't you glad that someone opened their mouth and told you the gospel so that you know how to be saved? I am. I prayed when I was 17 years old. I went to church and I walked home from midnight mass and I said, Lord, I'm afraid to die in a snowstorm in Keewatin, Minnesota. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I want to know. If I have to become a priest, I'll do anything. I want to know how to get to heaven. 12 years later, a milkman knocked on my door. Do you want some milk? Yeah. I bought the milk. He says, Nick, I got a question for you. Do you want to know how to get to heaven? I said, come on in. I've been waiting 12 years. And I got saved from a milkman. So we're begotten by that gospel. And Paul was entrusted with that precious gospel according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So if the gospel was committed to Paul's trust, do you think it's committed to your trust? Absolutely. We are entrusted with the gospel. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Because what a precious message. A powerful message. So if we have that powerful message, what did the Apostle Paul say to Timothy? Oh, Timothy, what? Guard what was committed to your trust. So we guard that gospel? Yes, we should. Never compromise the gospel. Jude 1:3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting what? You contend earnestly for the faith. Guard it, contend for that faith. So we must stand in defense of that gospel. Guard it, contend for the faith of the gospel, stand in defense of it. And Paul said in Philippians 1:17, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. And he says in Philippians 1:7 also. And how did Paul stand in defense of the gospel? Acts 13:39. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So how did Paul stand in defense of the gospel? He just didn't tell what the gospel is. He told what the gospel is not. So advice when you're given the gospel, just don't tell what the gospel is. You tell what it is not, so they don't incorporate or syncretize it into their thinking. So Paul did that. He told what the gospel isn't. And so I must be ready to preach the gospel. In Romans 1:15, Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. So I don't know most of you here. Are you ready to preach the gospel to those that are in Minneapolis? Randy, are you ready to preach in Duluth? Nick, Jenny, are you ready to preach in Silver Bay? Yeah, we should be ready to preach that gospel, no matter where we're at. I think of Dr. Walter Wilson. He got up every morning and he prayed, Lord, lead me to a soul that your spirit has softened their heart to the gospel. So he stood ready to proclaim that gospel no matter where he was. You ever read that book, Just What the Doctor Ordered? Wonderful book. Yeah. If he saw someone reading the Bible, he'd ask him, do you know the author of that Bible? If a waitress came and said, brought him food, he said, well, do you know, waitress, there's two kinds of waitresses. And she'd say, yeah, good and bad. No, saved and lost. Which one are you? And then he'd go for it, you know. So he had a desire to give that gospel. So even the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:19 said, that utterance might be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the what? Gospel. Here it is, the Apostle Paul. How'd you like to be chained to him in prison? But what was his prayer? I'll use Dennis's line, Pastor Roxer. We don't want to be Minnesota Christians or Arctic Christians frozen at the mouth. The Apostle Paul even had to pray that utterance might be given unto me, that I could open my mouth boldly. So sometimes we haven't opened our mouth boldly. 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though you preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast thereof. In the King James, it says, I have nothing to glory thereof. Why is that? Because we're just servants and he does it all. For necessity is laid upon me. And then it says, yes, but woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Have you ever thought about that verse? What that woe might mean? I didn't for a long time. I thought, well, look out if I don't give the gospel. If you look that word woe up in the Greek, it's a very ambiguous Greek term. It doesn't really say what it is. And then Randy and I looked through many, many commentaries, and it's from really bad to not so bad. And so I'm going to give you kind of an I think that I got from Pastor Roxer and Tom or whatever. You know, it's a woe unto me. I think that you'll be most miserable if you don't. If the Spirit of God leads you and directs you, hey, that person's open, give them the gospel, and you don't, you'll be most miserable. And that's happened to me. You know, I love giving the gospel. I enjoy giving it. And I was praying for this guy who lived up the road from me in Silver Bay for a long time. And Jenny and I were driving back from Alaska, and I said, I am going to witness to Dan the second I get home. I've been praying long enough, and I haven't gone. I got home, and he just died. So was I most miserable? Was there woe unto me? And another way you could look at it is, think of the blessings that you'll miss. Woe. Think of the blessings you'll miss here. But how about at the Bema seat? So both places you could miss blessings. Woe unto you. Paul said, woe unto me, so it's woe unto us if we don't give the gospel too. So I'll move on here, and I'll just read in Galatians how important that gospel is, 1:6-9. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who had called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert this gospel. And how do they do it? They add to it or they subtract to it. But even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than you, then what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, and so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel than to you than what we have received, let him be accursed. So he says it over and over and over. Preach the correct, clear gospel. And there was a creation conference at Duluth Bible last week, and I attended too, and there was a guy sitting right there, and Pastor Roxer came by, and he said, well, that guy's sitting there. Well, what do you think, Nick? And I said, okay, I'll go. And his name was Nick, not hard to remember. And Nick was not saved. But when he saw this, and I went through the gospel with him, he said, I want that. Because it said it was the first time that it's been very clear. Religion is confusing, but this is so clear how the gospel is presented. So what I'd like to do now is get my wife to come up. Do we have, David, do we have a couple? You have both sides. You should have both sides of the gospel here. And maybe while we're getting this and Ginny comes up, I'll go through it with Ginny on how I do it. But before I'll do, I'll just give you some helpful hints. Now, some of you have done this many times. First, we do the survey. And my helpful hint to you is when you do the survey, do it in a minute and a half or a minute. Go through it very quickly. No one gets saved on the survey. And why do I say that? Am I running around where I shouldn't be, or what, David?
How's that? Good.
And Randy can contest to this. And the years and years and years that we've been doing this, go through it very quickly. You want to get to the gospel. So when you do it quickly. Don't get caught up. Are there rights and wrongs? And spend 20 minutes debating with someone, are there rights and wrongs? They don't get saved on rights and wrongs. They get saved hearing the gospel. And don't challenge anybody if they give every wrong answer.
But this is helpful to know what they believe.
Yes, it's
it
invaluable.
Tells you what they believe and it's where they're at.
Very helpful. It's very helpful. It's invaluable.
I don't think you got one of those, but we've got tons of them.
Oh, yeah, I've got tons of them right here. Would anyone like one? David, do you want to hand them out?
It'll be your man Friday.
And if someone gives every wrong answer, write it down quickly, get to the what? Gospel. And at the fair, you have to ask them, is the Bible important to you? The last question, they say yes. Well, can we use the Bible to help show what the Bible, these answers say in the Bible? Or would you like to upgrade from 50 to 100? You know, there are different ways, but you want to get to the gospel.
Tell them about the person that spent 40 minutes with that. Tell them.
One person spent 40 minutes explaining to this lady what grace was. And that's not why you're there. If they don't know what grace is, fine, I'll tell you later. Just get on to the gospel, because Ephesians 2:8-9 is in the gospel on the purple sheet. So you don't want to get caught up going over what grace is, are there rights and there wrongs. So, and second of all, my good advice to you would be, don't challenge someone on this. And I say that because it's happened. In other words, why am I going to heaven? Because I go to church and I help people. That's a wrong answer.
No,
don't challenge on this, because then I've had people pick this up, leave, go over to that table and take their children with them. So you want to get to the gospel and let the word of God convict them. And let the word of God show them what the correct answer is. And then they can make a decision what they're going to do. So these are just helpful hints, you know, with this. So go through it real quickly. So I'll go through this with my wife very quickly. And hopefully I've schooled her to give me the wrong answers. I put their name Ginny. Ginny, did you grow up with any church background?
Yes, I did.
Anything in particular?
Lutheran.
I like to know, is it Church of Christ? Is it Lutheran or Mormon or Jehovah's Witness? Or what am I dealing with? So, or Lutheran. Okay, thank you. Ginny, do you believe there's one God, many gods, or no gods?
One God.
One God. Thank you. Do you believe there are rights and wrongs in the world?
Definitely.
In your life, have you ever done anything wrong?
Yes.
Are there consequences for doing things wrong?
Yes, there sure are.
Ginny, do you know what grace means?
Oh, grace. That's kind of a tough one.
Yeah. Okay. It simply means God will give you something you don't deserve. There are four different meanings, but God will give you something you don't deserve. Do you think there's a heaven or hell?
Yes.
Ginny, turning this over quickly, what do you think your chances are right now of getting to heaven? 0, 20 to 50, 50 to 80, 80 to 90, or 100?
Maybe 80%.
80%. Okay, thank you. Now, Ginny, you have 80% chance of getting heaven. Why would God let you in?
Oh, I was a pretty good kid growing up, and, you know, I went to church once in a while, and just it was, I think, just doing good things is good. That should get
okay,
me there.
Okay, good person, went to church, and you did good things. Do you think heaven is a free gift, Ginny, or it's an earned reward?
Oh, I think it's an earned reward.
Earned reward. Okay, thank you. Is the Bible important to you, Ginny?
It is.
It is. Okay, so the reason we're here is not to get you to change churches or anything, but to show you from the Word of God how you can be 100% know that you're going to heaven. So can I take a few minutes and draw you a picture?
I'd love to see that. I've really been wondering about this.
Okay, thank you. So you always have to ask. Because I've been challenged, you know, a person came in to me and said, you know, you said you're here for a, I'm here for a survey, and now you're preaching to me. And I said, no, I asked you very clearly, would you like me to show you how you can know that you have eternal life? I don't want to be preached to. I said, well, thank you, the survey's over. We can agree to disagree, and thank you for coming. I ended it right there, because the last thing you want to do is get in an argument. You do not want to do that. Because you might clear out everybody at the fair.
Hey, could I be a little closer
to
your wife?
Oh.
Yeah. Come on. Come on over here.
You see there, Nick. There you are. There
we are. Oh. Okay. That wasn't a tough one. Okay, Ginny.
Okay.
What we do is we dissect or show you what this verse John 3:16 means. Have you ever seen the verse John 3:16?
I memorized that in my Lutheran when I was 8 years old in third grade. I memorized that verse.
Okay, so I'll read it for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Okay? Now, Ginny, I'm going to give you some really bad, horrible news.
Ooh.
But then I'm going to give you some wonderful good news. I'm going to give you some wonderful good news. So don't run off until you hear the good news.
Okay.
And there's a reason I say that, and I'll tell you after. Because I've had people run off on the bad news. So, Ginny, we'll start with God. If you have a question, please ask, Ginny. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay?
Okay.
Now, God has many attributes. I'll just give you three. God is perfectly holy. He's a just God, but he's a loving God, okay? Now, God, Ginny, is perfectly holy. He's never sinned. Where do you think he resides?
In heaven?
Yeah, he's all over. He's omnipresent, yeah. And, yeah, in heaven. Okay, I'll draw a circle up here, Ginny. You're right. He lives in a holy heaven. Do you know why it's a holy heaven, Ginny?
Well, I would say there's no sin. God has no sin.
Yes, perfect. Yeah. Do you think he could let sin into a holy heaven?
No.
Okay,
no.
Don't forget that. So God lives in a holy heaven. He's a perfect holy God. He's a righteous God. He's never sinned. And he lives in a holy heaven, and he can't let sin in there. So we'll go on with the verse. He loved the world. So I'm going to put world down here. And by the person, I'm going to put Nick and Ginny, because he loved us, and he loves everyone in this room. Okay. So I always say, Ginny, don't believe me, but believe the Word of God. And the Word of God says, exalt the Lord our God, for the Lord our God is what?
holy.
Holy, and I have that circled. Okay.
On the back of the sheet.
Yeah, does everybody see that? It's either on the back of your sheet or on a separate sheet. I hope you have that sheet. Yeah. And I hope you're paying attention. I'm going to give you a test at the end.
Oh.
So I circled holy. Okay. Jenny, God gave man the Ten Commandments. You ever hear the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
And I just draw lines because I'm not going to write down all the Ten Commandments. It's just time. You have to read people and know. Are they anxious to get out of there? You're going to shift gears and really go through this in a hurry? Or are they interested and you can slow down a little bit? So I just draw five lines on each side. And Jenny, you've heard of the Ten Commandments? Don't
lie. Yes, Moses? Yeah. That was given to Moses?
Yeah,
yes.
Don't steal cookies, things like that? Yeah. Now you said on the yellow sheet that you've done something wrong in your life, so you've broken one of these, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's bad news. And here comes the bad news. That would make you guilty. And that would make you a sinner, correct?
Correct, yeah.
More bad news is that put a large sin barrier between a holy God and you as a sinner. Now, if I use your phone here, I can put this big sin barrier here. Being that you're a sinner in this condition, can God let you into a holy heaven? Can he let sin in?
No,
he can't. Yeah, that's a problem. So we turn the paper over, and it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is perfect, and you are what?
Sinner.
Not. Everyone's a sinner. Now, the Ten Commandments were never given, Jenny, to get you to heaven by, because they're a law, and a law can't give you what? Life. So the Ten Commandments were given to you so that you would see, how do you compare to a perfect, holy God?
I fall short.
You fall short. Yeah, he's perfectly holy, and you have sinned. And so the Ten Commandments are like a mirror. Now, Jenny, if I rub dirt on my face and I look in the mirror, will the mirror show me my face is dirty?
Yes.
Can the mirror clean my face?
Nope.
No, it can't. So the Ten Commandments are like that. They'll show us that we're a sinner, but it can't clean us. So the Ten Commandments are like a mirror. So more bad news. Now we see your iniquity on the backside, or your sin has separated you from holy God. So that sin has to be dealt with. But the last part of the bad news is the wages of sin is death. There are seven different deaths in the Bible, Jenny. You deserve and I deserve death. This particular death means separation in the Bible, would be eternal separation from God in hell or the lake of fire. So we're all born lost, ungodly sinners, but we're born hopeless, helpless, hellbound. We're born on the broad road to hell. Okay? So, we have to get rid of that sin. Okay? Do you think if we go to church, Jenny, that will remove your sin?
No,
it certainly can't. How about if you give all your money to the church? Will that remove your sin?
No, that can't either.
How about if you do all the good works that the church asked you to do? Will that remove your sin?
Nope.
No, and all the last one I'll put on there is baptism. Will baptism remove your sin?
No.
No, because in Hebrews 9:22 it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Is there any shedding of blood in any of these?
None of those.
Romans 6:23 said the wages of sin is church?
No,
it says the wages of sin is death. A death penalty must be paid. So, can you take away your own sin, Jenny?
No, I can't.
No.
I'm a
sinner.
I'll
put it this way, Jenny. I'm a teacher, and a teacher teaches. Yes. What do painters do?
Paint.
What do writers do?
Write.
What do saviors do?
Save.
Yeah, so you and I need a what?
Savior.
Yeah. So we'll look at the verse. For God so loved, and I'm going to put love over here, Jenny, that he gave his only begotten Son, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, to do the job that we can't do. And so he's called the Lamb of God in John 1:29, who take away the sin of the world. Yes.
Okay.
And Jenny, he died for all your sins, past, present, and future. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I can use this example. Here you are, and here's your sin, and here's Jesus Christ. And on that cross, in 1 Peter 2:24, he said he bore all your sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. So imputation, he took all your sins in his body so he could pay the penalty that you owed. So he died for all your sins, paid for all your sins. He's the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. So just before he died, he screamed something. Tetelestai.
What does that mean?
It is finished. Paid in full. Let's look on the back and see what was paid in full. God demonstrated his love toward us. Jenny, while we're sinners, Christ what? Died for us. Instead of you and I dying, he died in our place for us. And what specifically did he die for, Jenny, right here?
He died for our sins. Christ died for our sins.
And that's called the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. So he died for your sins that we see in Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who by the grace of God would taste death for every man. Okay? Jenny, are you a sinner?
Yes.
Do you deserve death?
Yes.
Eternal separation from God and hell? That's what you deserve. Now, did Jesus Christ, well, you were a sinner, did he die for you?
Yes, he did.
Did he die for your sins? Did he pay that death penalty for you?
Yes.
And what did he scream?
It is finished.
Paid in full. So, what I've done, I've given Jenny two things now. I've given her the bad news. God is holy. We're sinners. We deserve death. So when you do this, just keep it simple. I'm adding stuff to it, because I robbed some from Randy and some from Bert and some from Pastor Roxer. But you just have to keep it simple. Bad news, God's holy, we're sinners, we deserve death. Good news, God took care of the problem. So God demonstrated his love toward us while we yet sinners. Christ, what? Died for us. He tasted death for us, and he died for our sins. He can now scream, it is finished, paid in full. So that's the good news. Now comes the response. That's why I put up there bad news. Can you see it on there? Can you see good news? And you only have to use a couple of verses. And now we're going to go to the response. What must I do to be saved? So Jenny, for by grace. Now you didn't know what grace means. Grace means God will give you something you don't deserve. What do you deserve as a sinner?
Hell.
You deserve hell, but God wants to give you something you don't deserve. And I'm going to underline that. It's the gift of God. God wants to give you a free gift you don't deserve. So for by grace you have been saved through faith. So you need faith. And Jenny?
Faith in what?
I know you have faith.
How do you
know
that?
Because you always exercise your faith by believing in an object or a person. You believe in that chair what holds you.
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
You put your faith in a chair. Will a chair get you to heaven, Jenny?
Never.
No. So what else will not get you to heaven? Let's look on in the verse. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Jenny, can you take away your own sin?
No, I sure can't.
If you could, Jesus would have stayed home, because he came down here and died so he can give you a free gift by grace you do not deserve. Jenny, can you put your faith in your church works?
No.
And your good works?
Nope.
No, you can't. So you can't put your faith in yourself. You can't remove your own sin. And the church can't remove your sin, lest you would brag, lest any man should boast. So why? Because we're all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are filthy rags compared to Jesus' work. So how do we get to heaven? Romans 4:5. But to him who does not work but believes on him. I have that circled. Of course, I would ask her, what need, I'd make her do this. What must you do, Jen?
Believe in him.
Who's him?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. And he justified us because we're ungodly. Now our faith makes counted for righteousness or makes it right with God. So let's look at them. That's the response. I must believe by faith in Jesus Christ. The result, these things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may, what is that word?
K-N-O-W.
Yes.
No.
When I'm at the mission in Alaska, if there's a Filipino sitting by me and they're looking, and I've said, these things have I written unto you who nanini wala. And they look. That simply means believe in whom? In the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ, that you may alamko, that you have eternal life. And then their eyes get big so that they... Does alamko mean 50% or 80%, Jenny, or does it mean 100%?
100%.
Yeah, you can know. Know means 100%. Now, what can you know, Jenny? Would you read it, please?
You may know that you have eternal life.
You may know that you have eternal life. So we can turn the paper back over, and we saw that the good news was that Christ died for your sins and rose again, and this is called the gospel, Jenny. And the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So we're going to write believe in here, Jenny. I believe. In the Greek, it means, Jenny, I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ, not the chair. I'm going to rely in Jesus Christ, not the chair. And what does it take? It takes my faith. How much of my faith? 100% of my faith in Jesus. And how much in you, Jenny? 0%. So you're putting all your faith and trusting that Christ died for your sins and rose again, and it's all by grace. So I will read you Ephesians 2:8-9 again. For by grace have you been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. So, Jenny, God wants to give you the gift of eternal life when you simply trust and believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again for you. He wants to give you the gift of eternal life. Now, do you deserve that gift?
No, I don't.
No, you don't. What do you deserve?
Hell.
You deserve to spend all eternity. So God wants to give you the gift of eternal life. And that, now you can sing the song, what?
Amazing Grace.
That is Amazing Grace, yeah. For God so loved Jenny that he gave his only begotten son. That when Jenny believes in him, will Jenny perish in hell?
Nope, not according to that God's word. It says.
No, and what do you have?
Eternal life.
As a free gift you do not deserve. So let's finish. John 5:24. Most assuredly I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has what, Jenny?
Everlasting life.
Will you come into judgment?
No,
because you're passed
not.
From death unto?
Unto life.
Unto life. Okay. Jenny, when you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again, you get 215 things. I'm going to give you four.
Okay.
Number one is you get eternal life, and I have that written over on the side, that you do not deserve. And how long does eternal life last? In the upper right-hand corner, I have it right up in here.
For all eternity.
For all eternity. Number two, I'll give you what happens. Would you read John 1:12, please?
But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name.
So what can you become now?
A child of God.
And how did you do that?
By believing in him.
Yeah, by believing him. So now you're a child of God. All right, number three. Ephesians, I'll quote that for you, Jenny. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom you trusted, that's Jesus Christ, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel, that Christ died for your sins and rose again, after you believe that message, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay? And how long does he live? He comes to live within you. If the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, does Jesus come in to live with you? Yes. Is God the Father? Yes. And how long does he stay there?
Forever.
Yeah. And the next verse says that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our salvation until the redemption of the purchased possession. So he lives with you forever and can never leave you. And then number four, the last thing, Jenny, I'll give you is Acts 10:43 says, to give all the prophets witness that through his name, Jesus Christ, whoever believes in him, believes what? That he died for your sins and rose again, has remission or forgiveness of sins. So the second you believe in him, all your sins are forgiven. Jenny, where do you deserve to go?
To hell.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again?
Yes, I do. Thank
you
for showing me.
Now, what do you get with it?
Eternal life.
Yeah. Are you a child of God
now?
I'm
a child of God.
Is Jesus living within you?
Yes.
Are all your sins forgiven?
All my sins forgiven.
All your sins are forgiven. Now, let me ask you, Jenny, if all your sins are forgiven, where can you get into?
Oh, a heaven, a holy heaven.
Oh, holy heaven. Yes, you can, because your sins are forgiven. Okay, so Jenny, remember there are no good works that could ever save you. But the Bible talks about good works. We can look at Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. But the next verse says, we're created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good what? Works. And why are they done? They're done out of love and appreciation for what Jesus did for you. He died. You were on your way to hell, and he died on that cross for your sins, rose again to give you eternal life you don't deserve. And it's the love of Christ that constrains you. And who lives in you, Jenny?
Holy Spirit.
He lives in you to do the good works out of love and appreciation for what Christ has done for you. So that's where good works fit in the Bible. So the Philippian jailer asked the Apostle Paul, what must I do to be saved? And what did they say?
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Yeah, so what keeps people out of heaven today? He who believes in him is what?
Is not condemned.
But he who does not believe?
Is condemned already.
Why?
Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
He has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, very simple. Bad news, good news. The bad news is called the context. The good news is called the content. The response, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So if you just take those, and the result is you get eternal life. And if you want to use two or three verses for each one, you don't need to put all what I put in there at all. And everybody does it a little bit differently, but what do they cover? Bad news, good news, response, and result is eternal life. So Jenny, I'm going to give you a test now before I test the crew out here. Is God perfectly holy, Jenny?
Yes, he is.
And does he live in a holy heaven?
Yes, he does.
Can he let sin in a holy heaven?
No, never.
No. And you and I are what, Jenny?
We're sinners.
And what do we deserve?
Death.
We deserve death. Eternal separation from God in hell. But Jesus loved us so much. Well, we're sinners. What did Christ do for you, Jenny?
Christ died for us.
And what did he die for specifically?
Died for our sins.
And what payment did he pay?
He paid the death penalty.
Yeah, the wages of sin is death. And he screamed to Tetelestai, it is finished. Now you get to heaven. What must you have, Jenny?
Faith.
And who must you exercise your faith in? The chair?
Not the chair, no.
In whom?
The Lord Jesus Christ. He died.
A lot of people say God. No, I said Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the just Jesus. I don't tell them all this. Died for the unjust, that he would bring us to God. But a lot of people say God. No, Jesus Christ was God, but he's God the Son who did the work on the cross because he's the way, the truth, and the life. Now, when you believe in Jesus Christ, and what did he do again for you on that cross?
He died for my sins.
He died for your sins. When you believe that he died for your sins, now you can absolutely what?
No.
That what?
That I have eternal life.
Okay. And then what I love to do and do the answer here is I'd say, Jenny, you said you were 80 to 90%. Are you still 80 and 90%?
Can I change it?
Yes, you can.
Tell you the truth, 100%. That's wonderful. Extra good news. If anyone knows, the kids might know that song.
Did you get to heaven? Are you 100% because you're a good person and you went to church and you do good things?
Nope.
No, why would you get to heaven?
Because Christ died for my sins, and I believe that he did that for me personally.
Yes, and also he rose again
and
as a living
again
Savior.
Rose again for victory.
Okay. I forgot a part, and I'm going to go back to it. Because I always like to stress this. Now, she says she has the eternal life, and I go back to the front page, and I have some verses at the bottom right-hand corner there. John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep know me, they follow me. And John 10:28, it says, I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. Ume, never, never perish till the end of the age. Okay? And the next verse, Jesus said, I hold Ginny in my hand, and no one can pluck her out of my hand. But the next verse says, God the Father is greater than all, and he holds Jenny, and no one can pluck them out of his hand. And then I asked Jenny, where is Jesus Christ today? I always like to bring in eternal security. Where is Jesus Christ today, Jenny?
Sitting at the right hand of the
Father. Yeah, and why is he sitting at the right hand of the Father? 1 John 2:1 says, my little children, I pray that you sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, a defense lawyer. Why? In Revelation 12:10, Jenny, the accuser, Satan, comes day and night and says, Jenny sinned. But Christ is up there saying, you can't condemn her. I died for that sin. So Jenny, he died down here to save you. He lives up there to keep you safe. So the Holy Spirit lives within you forever. It can never leave you. Okay? Until the day of your redemption. So Jesus holds you. The Holy Spirit holds you. God the Father holds you. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. So you can't lose your salvation. I mean, I made this long. When you do this, you read someone. If they're getting anxious, boy, you shift gears and you go. So maybe I'll give you all a test. And I have two hearing aids, so I'm hard of hearing. So I want to hear you. Randy, I want to hear you back there. So our God is perfectly what? Does he live in a holy heaven?
Yes.
Can he let sin in there?
No.
And everyone sitting here, we are all what?
Sinners.
And what do we deserve? Death. But God loved us so much that he demonstrated his love while we're yet sinners. What did Christ do for us? Died for us. What specifically did he die for?
Our
sins. Knowing that Christ died for the sins of the world is history. You got to know that he died for your sins, and that's salvation. Okay? So what did he taste? He tasted what?
Death
for us. Penalty paid, tetelestai, paid in full. So how do we get to heaven? We need what? Faith. In whom? Jesus Christ. And what did he do for you on the cross? He died for your sins and rose again, a living Savior. The gospel, the good news. When you believe that, now you can absolutely what? K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. So I would ask you, I don't know, all of you here, is this just words for you? Or have you seen yourself as a lost and godly sinner, hopeless, helpless, hell-bound? And who did Christ die for? In Matthew 18:11, Luke 19:10, it says, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is what?
Lost.
Romans 5:6, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. God demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ what? Died for us. So who did he die for? Lost and godly sinners. That's you. So I want to ask each and every one of you, have you believed that? Have you trusted that? And we know what the resurrection meant, propitiation. God the Father was totally satisfied that Jesus Christ got the job done. He died for all your sins and he paid it in full. And he resurrected him. If he'd left one, Jesus would have left one sin. He'd have never resurrected him. But he got the job. So if God, thank you. If God the Father was satisfied with Jesus' work, what does he simply ask you? Won't you be? Won't you believe that he died for your sins and rose again? He wants to give you eternal life as a free gift that you do not deserve. And that is what? Amazing grace. Any questions? If you do, ask Dave. Thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm. The Quran is for Muslims, Islam. So your religion, you believe, you teach what the Bible says, but then there's the other religions, they have their books.
Yeah.
So if they say it's not important to what I believe because everyone thinks their book is right.
Yeah.
Every religion thinks theirs is right. What if they say no, or that it's not important to them?
I just try it and explain that, how can I best do this? That religion, all religions are the same. Christianity is not a religion. All religions are the same, and what is it, the definition of religion? Do, 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 give, 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 join, join, join. What's the definition of Christianity? Done, done, done. And so I mainly explain that, and I'd say, I'd like to show you something that's not religion, that you can know you have eternal life. I try and get to that. And if an atheist comes in, I said, well, you're always an atheist. You know, no. I said, well, you changed your mind, didn't you? Yeah, I did, because I grew up Lutheran or Catholic. Or you changed it. So if you ever change your mind again, this is what you want to believe, not religion. You want to believe this message. So I try and get to the gospel and give him the gospel. And Dave, do you have a better answer for it?
Yeah, I just don't tell people, you know, we're a Christian church, and we've had Muslims down the row, and they've tried to come over and talk to us, and I just say, you know, we don't agree on what you believe versus what I believe. I think we're just kind of wasting our time trying to talk to each other. I can be gracious to you, and you can be gracious to me. So you can go over there and do what you're going to do, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do here, because I think there's a difference between works and grace, and you don't understand that. And what makes Christianity so different is the grace of God. God does it for you, and you don't have to do it. So, and that's why you can quit working and trust Christ and collapse by faith in him. And grace frees you from all this do, join, as Nick said. And grace is what makes the difference. It's the grace of God, and it is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back over here. One more quick story talking about grace. When I was in Houston then, a pastor that I worked with last September when I was down there brought me a Muslim. And he had baptized him and thought he was saved. So I gave him the survey. He was 50%, 50 to 80%. He had to follow Jesus and you have to earn your way. So when he left, he jumped up and he said, I'm not 50% anymore, I'm 100%. Jesus did it all, and now I'm saved. In fact, he ran out of the door, you know, he ran out of the place we were at. We were staying at the parsonage there, and my buddy, the pastor, was walking by, and he hugged him, and he said, you know, I'm not 50% anymore. I'm 100% because Christ died for my sins and rose again. He did it all. I believe it. I now know I'm going to heaven. But what I'm getting at, you really are fortunate to have great teaching. Because this pastor brought him in, a graduate of Dallas Seminary, brought him in, said, the man saved, could you counsel him? Well, the man was no more saved than a man in the moon, you know what I mean? And so, count your blessings that you have great teaching.
Another thing I'd just say is that, you know, when you do fair evangelism, it's not like personal evangelism. You know this person personally, like Nick knew me, so he could follow up with me and connect with me, and I could call him, and we still went fishing and hunting together. But fair evangelism, you're just giving the gospel. And if people get saved at the fair, you have to trust the Lord that God will direct them someplace to get fed and taught. Many times people say, well, where's your church? And I tell them, they go, oh, you're way over there. You know, we're in Washington County and at Lake Elmo, and we're down in the St. Louis Park Edina area. Oh, you're way over there. I said, well, where do you work? Well, I work over in Chaska. I said, you mean to say you drive from this side of the city, so that side, this is every day for a buck, and you won't come half that distance to hear the word of God? I said, you know, Jesus came all the way from heaven for you. Oh, then they're convicted right away. So I, you know, and you just have to just trust the Lord, because, you know, we haven't really had anybody that had gotten responded at the fair that has come out to church and wanted to be a part of the church. And very few of all the churches that do this has had that happen. A few have. Right. But not many. But again, God told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what we're doing. We're just preaching the gospel like he told us to. And we're offering them first-hand salvation. We're not trying to teach second tense, but we have all kinds of tools in our evangelism box. If they get into a question about the Christian life on family and fellowship, position and condition, and all kinds of things that we can show them to help them if they want to have other a longer conversation, but most of the time people are here, they're stopping in for 20 minutes, they want to get moving, they want to see the rest of the fair. But if this is a divine appointment, they'll take all the time they need. They want to get it all. They are just hanging on your words. And it's just a joy to lead people to Christ with the Word of God.
Do you ever give them Grace Gospel Radio?
I never do. No, I just give them our booklet with our name on it. I said, if you're interested in coming out and hearing me teach, I said, here's the address on the back of the booklet, and you can look us up, and you can listen to a sermon if you want.
Yeah.
If you want to come out, you're welcome to come out. We meet every...
I ask that is just that if they listen online, they might get their appetite
Yeah.
More yeah. priest and then yeah. possibly call and say, where can I go?
Yeah. I don't. I've never really advertised Grace Gospel Radio to them. Okay. I've just tried to set forth the fact that we are a local church here in the Twin Cities. If you want to come out, we're dispensational. We're grace-oriented. We preach the gospel of grace. We teach verse by verse. That's what I tell them.
So I know Dave has plenty of these things. So I would encourage you, all of you. I was really encouraged down in Harlingen with Jaime Garza's two teenage daughters. They're right in there all day long giving the gospel. Yeah. They're never too young. They're never too old.
Yeah.
Take this thing, practice. Practice with your husband, your daughters, your sisters. Yeah. Teach your kids how to do it. Just keep it really simple. You don't have to do everything I did. Everyone does it differently. Yeah. Dave does it differently mm-hmm. than I do it. You all do it differently.
Yeah.
But what do you teach? Bad news, good news? If you have a couple, three verses for each one.
Yeah. The booklet.
It's really helpful.
Yeah.
Everything that you've covered already
in the Right. Yeah. I tell the guys, put it down by the toilet when you sit down there, pick this up and read it. That's what I tell them.
So each and every one of us, again, is given us, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation
yeah.
to proclaim the gospel. So can I end with a verse here, and then you can ask Dave more questions than I... if it doesn't fit, we'll make it fit. So in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So I'll kind of apply it this way. Are you ready to give an answer?
Yeah. And God wants to use you. And a lot of times people say, well, I don't know enough to be used. That's not true. When you get called to a witness stand, you just tell them what you know. You don't tell them what you don't know, what you should know. You tell them what you know. And that's what you do with the gospel here. And if you stick to those, the bad news, the good news, the response, and
results,
you'll be in business. So, and the more you do it and the more conversations you have, the more difficulty that you come up against, those are the conversations that really grow you. Because then you dig for some answers, and then you want to be prepared for the next time. And you're being ready to give an answer to every man that asks you. And if they want to argue about this or that, I sometimes will talk to them for a while, and I'll just say, hey, you know, thanks for stopping in. Good to see you. Have a good night at the fair. And I try to just push them out and let them go, because I'm not there to argue with them. No. I mean, if they want to talk, fine, but, you know, sometimes it turns into an argument, and then it gets loud, and then the neighbors are looking at you, and it's just kind of a bad testimony.
Clears the booth right out, you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We can agree to disagree. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, enjoy the fair. It's a nice evening. Yeah. I just soon have them go, because I don't want to sit and argue with them all night. I'm looking for the 2 or 3% who are open and that want to have a divine appointment, that I want to sit down and talk, and those people are the ones you want to reach anyway. So most of the people, like on that diagram on Sunday, most are on that broad road. They're going to hell. They don't care. They're just grabbing all the gusto they can get in life. But again, at different times in our life, we're open to spiritual things, and those are the people we're looking for. And we're praying that the fair will bring those people to our booth and that you can talk to them. Hey, Craig's giving me the sign to get over here.
Huh?
So does anybody have any other questions? What if we're doing the Ramsey Fair, which is, I'm going to go to Alaska on June 20th to the 12th of July, and this Ramsey Fair starts on the 13th. So on that night I come back, I'll probably go over the fair evangelism again, but somebody will have to be at the fair that night. And maybe one of the other guys can go over it once when I'm gone and just kind of get everybody boned up on it. It's fun to hear how different people do it, because you don't have to do it just like I did it. You don't have to do it just like Nick did it. And if you cover those points, it's the message, God, it's the gospel that saves them. We don't save anybody. We're just witnesses. That's the way it is. So again, you can change yours, and I always like to look at people. I like to write their name down, so I got their name in front of me. So I keep saying, well, what do you think, Jim? What do you think, Sally? You know, I want them to be engaged. I want them to listen to me. You're talking to 4 young people. 2 are listening and 2 are looking for the girls and whatever, and they're looking around for their buddies. And so I focus on the 2 that are open. And that's just the way it is. You got to kind of read people, you know. So where they're at, and if they're not tuned in at all, I just say, hey, thanks for stopping. Have a good night. And they go. I let them go because they are not interested at all. I'm killing their time, and they want to get out of there. So, okay.
Which one's Pastor? Ramsey?
Ramsey, yeah. That's, and then it'll be the Washington over Lake Elmo and the Dakota County Fair. And I've never gotten a response to the Carver County Fair. I don't know why.
Or Anoka. You haven't yeah.
No, I don't think they're going to do it because there's construction galore up there. It's a hard fair to get into anyways. On Sundays, it takes you an hour to get in there, Sunday afternoon. So I don't know if they're going to do it because of the construction this year. And then the state fair. Well, that should be interesting.
Can I hear that again? We're doing
the state fair? Yeah, yeah, we are. Yeah, so we don't have all the details on that yet, but we'll have more. Now, Randy, you're going on a mission trip here. Why don't you come up and tell these people about your mission trip? Where you're going to go. So Randy's going to England. He's going over to Kai Haas's church in Germany, the guy whose grandfather was the... Come on over here. Got to stand in front of here. You want to see you on here. Yeah, there you go. Put that on. You can just hold it up and talk. Tell him who's going and when you're going.
What a privilege. Sorry. What a privilege it is to be able to go to Germany and England and Island of Man, which is between England and Ireland, on the 24th of May through June 8th. So, an interesting pastor that we met through the Grace Vine. He met us online. He's now a Gibbs student, is Kai Hurst. He's the grandson of Rudolf Hess, the commandant or commander of the Auschwitz of that Nazi death camp. Some 1.5 million people that were murdered there. He is saved, he's a pastor, and he's looking forward to us being there in Stuttgart. So I'll be going to those three locations with Kurt and Bert.
Okay, Kurt and Bert and you.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. Has Kurt and Bert come back from Africa?
They've been back 3 days now.
Okay,
so.
All right. Did they have any kind of roundup about that, or did you have any information? Did they share?
They gave it tonight. In fact, it was at DBC Family Fellowship night.
Okay, yeah.
So they gave a report on that, okay. A lot of slides. And it went really well, so.
Good.
It's their first time back in over 2 years.
Yeah, very good. Okay.
Yeah.
And the gospel's going out. People are being taught.
I'll be in Louisiana after that in June at a Bible camp for seniors, grades 9 through 12, June 16th through, I think, the 26th.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah. And I'll be in Rochester tomorrow morning, where we used to have a Bible study.
All right.
Ministering over there. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Well, that's been as a result of several years of prayer. The first time that I had a meeting with one of the past presidents, it just didn't work out on our end, but now it has worked out, where I went there in December of 21 to Crossroads Chapel at the Minnesota State Fair and got to see the operation. I was invited there to have lunch, and it went really well, and then I continued to stay in contact with them, and they invited me back for a board meeting. There's 12 members on the Crossroads Chapel board, and I presented what Nick went through tonight on a PowerPoint slide, and they said we'll vote on it tonight, and so I got notice 2 days later that we're accepted to come into the Minnesota State Fair and minister some 14 days there from early morning till late at night. And the Minnesota State Fair is open every day throughout the year, so we'll be going to the Crossroads Chapel in the future, not only this Minnesota State Fair, but all the other events. So they've given us a pretty nice deal. Big building, brand new building.
Yeah.
So we're going to wait and see on the details of that. I'm still working on that, but yes, it's an answer to prayer.
Yeah.
For the Minnesota State Fair. All right.
Yeah.
Crossroads Chapel was started 70 years ago on the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. It was started by Billy Graham, actually, through the Twin Cities Evangelical Association. But certainly it's been lost, you know, the center message of the gospel over these many years never was probably right to begin with. But so that's where Crossroads Chapel starts. And there's a lot of churches involved in the Twin Cities, so... Today I was invited to a Christian Businessmen's Association that's part of the Crossroads Chapel in Lake Elmo. So I got to meet a lot of the people that are connected with Crossroads Chapel that support it financially. So, thanks. Good questions, though. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Well, let's have a word of prayer. I had another song, but I forgot to send Erin the song music, so she didn't bring it, and it's my fault. So we don't have another song to sing. So let's have a word of prayer here, and we'll dismiss. Father, we are thankful again for this message called the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone who simply believes. We want to carry this light of the gospel. It seems like you've entrusted it to us by the grace of God, and who knows what will happen here with the summer, even with the state fair, Father, and evangelism opportunities there, that we may be able to, in some way, introduce people to our church by, again, they might say, well, where do you go? And we may have the chance to share that with them. So we're thankful again for this opportunity. Thank you for the opening that Randy has negotiated, and through prayer, even to get into the state fair. We'll see how all this works out and all this comes together here by the end of the summer, and there's lots going on. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for loving us and for sending us, Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the gospel message we have to proclaim. May we be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks us the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Very good.